Well, today I'd like for us to take our Bible and we'll look at both the Old and New Testament today, some scriptures regarding a lesson to consider as we look, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and then we'll look into the book of Judges this morning. We're talking about learning from God's Word, lessons to be considered. Things that we need to see, things we need to be reminded of as we look at the world today and the condition that it's in. I was thinking this morning in the Old Testament we have a couple of words used talking about seers, a seer being a prophet. We talk about prophets. There were seers, there were ones who were able to look into the future with a visionary sense. And David, at the end of David's life, it mentioned all three of them. It talks about David passing away and David having Samuel and Nathan and Gad, the prophets, to lead him. And Nathan, that word, is, we wouldn't know it without looking in the Hebrew, but the word Navi means a person who is an announcer. And Nathan did that to David, did he not? He announced what David had done, and he brought that before him. Then we have the word of a seer. A seer is one, Gad was a seer. That word being used at that particular place was one who has a visionary sense of the future. And then, of course, Samuel was called a seer. And what he saw was the condition of the world as it was in his day. And I want to think about that today. We have the Holy Spirit of God as a born-again believer to illumine us to the things of God, which is His Word. And then we ought to be able to see within our world today. There are no prophets today. We don't need a prophet today. We don't need one to announce truths or judgment of God because we have His Word. We don't really need a seer with a visionary for the future because we have His Word. We know Christ is coming. We know how He's coming. We don't know exactly the day, but we know He is coming. And then, of course, we have God's Word today to guide us, that we should have a sense as a seer to be able to look at the world and see the things as they are today, meaning how things are being done. Look at the spiritual aspect of the world today. We're talking about praying for people in our nation. The condition of our country. We ought to be able to look into God's Word, which is a mirror, to show us what we're living in and what sort of days we're living in. We're living, many people say, in the last days. But let's look at the text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul, of course, the writer under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers under the cloud were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Now he's talking about his forefathers, the people of Israel. "And were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. And they drank of the spiritual rock," that capital letter speaking, "that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them murmured, also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, taketh heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now we see from the hand of the Apostle Paul how that he has written about some of the things of the past with the nation of Israel. And we can be reminded again of God bringing out Israel out of the world, if you would, the land of Egypt, where they were under bondage, serving there. They're God's people, but they were in bondage to the world. And he brought them out. He redeemed them with Moses. He brought them out with a strong arm, the scripture says, a mighty hand. And he brought them, he was taking them into a land that he had promised Abraham. But there was a generation that didn't make it. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness until the certain generation passed away because of their unbelief and lack of faith in God. And we'll look at this in just a moment. But it's interesting how that God has preserved that, and that story gives us an insight into the power of God. It gives us an insight to see how that God honors his word. They drank again from that rock, being Christ. They ate from the spiritual food of God, and yet they did not take heed to the things of God. And this again was written for our admonition, he says. Now let's turn, if you would, back to the book of Judges, and we'll look at chapter number 2. Again, the history of the nation of Israel. Moses brought them out of Egypt, but he was not able to take them into the land because he smote that rock. God said, speak to the rock and water would come out as the people again murmured for water. But Moses smote the rock, and as a result, he did not go into the promised land in his natural body. He's found in the promised land on Mount of Transfiguration, but not in his natural body. And because of that, he was not able. But Joshua, his predecessor, if you would, his military leader, led the children of Israel into the promised land. Give again a little background and history about that. As they entered the promised land, they came to a place called Gilgal. And at that place, they had to, again, circumcise the males. That was something that God had required. If you remember about Abraham, that demonstrated Abraham's faith. That has nothing to do with salvation. That was an act given in obedience to the Lord. And they had failed to do that. And that generation died off in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years of wandering. And the number from 20 and above had died. So you've got a person who's 20 years old, and they're in the wilderness for 40 years, 60 years old. They're about to go into the promised land of God, but they haven't kept the act of circumcision, having faith in God. And by the way, interesting again, the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews doesn't write of anyone in and through that 40-year period having faith. It speaks of Moses, but that's it. Where was the faith? The faith was not in the Lord as it should have been. So they entered the land of promise under Joshua. And then at the place called Gilgal, that's where they rolled the reproach of God away, rolled away the reproach from Egypt. God had delivered them by the Passover lamb, but they hadn't seen God's hand, this people wandering around in disobedience. And so now they enter the land, and God speaks to them. And at Gilgal, of course, they made this circumcision again to the flesh. And at a place called Bochim, which is the weeping oak, or oak of weeping, this is where we find now that this was done, made things right with God. And we'll pick up in Joshua chapter 2 and pick up in verse number 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, they're in the land. The children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Now, Israel had elders representing the 12 tribes. So it's not just Joshua passing away, but the elders that were over these. They passed away, it goes on to say, how they passed away, the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, talking about this generation of elders and Joshua and the older people. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. There's a beginning, if you would, of a slippery slope. There's a generation now that has heard, they've heard the stories, and now this older generation has passed away, and there's another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers, of the spoiler that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. As we think about this again, Paul said these things were written for our admonition. They were recorded so that we could see the facts. We could see what happened to God's people, the nation of Israel. God's not through with Israel. We see the hatred over in the Middle East today. Those are God's people, and God is going to redeem them in due time. But right now, according to the Apostle Paul, by the way of the Holy Spirit, they've been set aside. They've been set aside for a time while God is dealing with the Gentile world today, that whosoever will may come to Christ. Jews can come to Christ, but they're not coming in large numbers. There may be one here, and I don't mean to say that is a small amount, but there are Jews coming to Christ, but not like that's going to take place again in the latter days. So what we have right now is a lesson that's been given for us in the past, whereby that you and I can learn. We ought to be able to learn how to serve the Lord. We ought to be able to recall in our mind's eye those who have been before us, those who were elders, those who believed in God, those who served the Lord, those who were faithful to God, and we ought to be able to convey that on to the next generation. That's what we need today in this world, and especially in this nation in which we're living. We need our younger people to come into the understanding of who Christ is, that rock. He's still the same. He's the rock of our salvation, David said. He's the rock of our salvation today in this New Testament world. Christ is the one, and we need to convey to them our faith. Let them see how sincere we are to the things of God. How does this happen, we ask? How does this go when we see the up and down, the cycle of revival in the nation of Israel in their life? They go through the revival state, and then they turn away from God. They reach the very bottom, and it seems that they can't go any further, and then they turn their heart back to God, whether it be through the judges, whether it be through the prophets, and then the Christ, the Messiah, comes, and then they reject him. And for that, Christ has been, of course, rejected by them, and they have been set aside. But he's working in the world today. He is going to finish, if you would, the Lord Jesus Christ. In due time, there will be the end of the Gentile era, as we speak of. We're talking about how the Gentiles have ruled from Babylon all the way to the return of Christ as the church is raptured out. you're talking about the Gentiles will rule until then. Christ is coming back and he'll rule for 1,000 years here on this earth. But as we think about that, this nation of Israel, they turned away from Yahweh, Jehovah. That's what he says, the Lord, all caps in the Old Testament, is in reference to Yahweh. God is Elohim. They turned away from Yahweh Elohim, and they turned to the gods of the world, the little g's, if you would, all kinds of false gods. You're talking about Baal, who was a false god of the Canaanites. They turned to the god, the Ashtaroth, the god of the Moabites. All of these ites within the land, they turned away from God and they began to worship the things that they saw in other nations. Ashtaroth means star as well. We don't know if they were worshiping the creature more than the creator. We do know with the small gods, but you're looking at creation itself. Many today are worshiping creation itself through ways of worshiping the stars. You're talking about false religions, false worships. How does this work where that these people who know God get away from God? Well, same as today in our age of trying to win young people back to the Lord. A lot of times people lose, if you would, faith in God because those who were walking close with the Lord got away from the Lord. Talking about born-again believers who were firm on their foundation. They were actively involved in church and worshiping God. They were in God's house. They were having fellowship with God's people. And then they began to become lax in their service. We're not saved by our works, but we should work out our salvation. And they get lax in their service to the Lord. And the younger people see that. And they wonder what's really with their God. I mean, they call out to God when they need something, but they don't thank God when other things arise. And these younger people have seen a lot of this. Not only that, talking about hypocrisy, but a lot of the elders have passed away. Those who were, if you would, dynamic in their faith. And I could name a lot that I've known, and you would as well, who were strong in their faith, and in time God has called them home. But we need someone to step up and to fill their shoes and to take up the slack. This is what we're saying. We need young people who believe in the same God that delivered Israel. He's the same one in Christ that saved our soul, and he's the one who's going to prepare a place for us, and we need to be looking for that in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Interestingly enough, as they pass down much of this Old Testament knowledge through tradition, we find that when they came into the land under Joshua, you remember God said, I'm going to give you a land with houses, their vineyards, their trees full of fruit. All of this is going to be yours, and you've done nothing for it but believe me by faith. And they get into the land, and they, if you would, roll away the reproach of Egypt, there at Gilgal, and they had the Passover, the first Passover in the land, the 14th day of the first month. Remember, the lamb was to be put up on the 10th, as it was down in Egypt, and they were to recognize the Passover every year. They get into the land, they recognize the Passover, they had the Passover lamb. The scripture says back in Joshua that they ate of the old corn, that unleavened bread the day after the Passover, and from there the manna ceased. God had fed them 40 years with manna, and now the old corn's gone and they're in the land. It's a new day. And they see all of this, but they don't hold on to it. It reminds me again of the blessings and cursings written back into by Moses in Deuteronomy. Remember, Moses charged the people of God, you do this, God will bless you. You do this, God will curse you. The curse began in the city and in the field. Look at what's taking place in America today. We have not replaced Israel, but he said these things were written for our admonition. We look at cities where we would wonder, how many Christians are really there. Often again, we look at statistics. Again, you don't know what the statistic is saying. It depends on who does the evaluation of it, the statistic. What is a Christian in their eye? We again sometimes read articles and we find that even lumped into Christianity are the Mormons. There are those who would lump into Christianity Jehovah's Witnesses. And those particular groups aren't Christian. There's nothing about them that's Christian. They don't believe that Christ is the Son of God either or. And so let's get back to the brass tacks, as the old people used to say. Get down to the brass tacks. What is a Christian? It's a person who believes in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's a person who believes in the incarnate Christ, the virgin birth, the virgin born Christ, Son of God, the living Word. Not a prophet, not a figure, not someone, but God. And then putting your faith and trust in His work and what He did on Calvary. Nothing that you can do, nothing that I can do, but believe in what He did. And by that faith that's conveyed to us through the reading and hearing of God's Word, then we trust in Him, and now we're born again. We're a child of God. We are a little Christ. They were called Christians at Antioch first, meaning that they were representing Christ. And this is what we see. So how did they turn away from this God that had been represented by their elders? Well, they chose to go another way. We find in verse 12, it says, they forsook the Lord God, that Yahweh Elohim. They forsook Him of their fathers, the same God. Sometimes we talk to people about trusting Christ, and they say, well, I believe, but I don't believe the way that they believe. Folks, I believe according to the Bible. I don't care about how someone else believes. We need to believe according to the things of God. What is our faith resting on? Is it resting on what we believe as a personal Lord and Savior, or is it something that someone else has told us? And that's what we're saying. We need to know Him as in a personal way, not just He was a God of my fathers or my grandparents or what. He needs to be a personal God. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. That word forsook means that they abandoned Him. They abandoned this God. They went away from Him. They turned to other gods. If question asked today, you could ask someone, who do you think another God would be in America? What is the greatest God in America? What is it that most people give their time to? Most people give all of their effort to. What are they doing most of the time? What is it that they are serving? Who is it that they are serving? And most of us would say it's the one that goes back here. And you know what I'm speaking of. The Almighty Dollar. The Almighty Dollar, as they say, one man said, I work to eat and I eat to work. In other words, he has to eat so he can work, and he has to work so he can eat. It's just a vicious cycle. Then what? What's going to happen when you die? That's what we need to consider, isn't it? Where have we put most of our time and effort? I'm not against working or doing our part. That's not what I'm saying. We need to do that, but we have to selectively and be on guard, choose what we're doing, and know how we're doing what we are doing. He said these things were recorded for our admonition, for our learning. They followed the other gods of the people. In verse number 13 it says, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. They not only followed those gods, but then they began to serve those gods. They abandoned Yahweh and started serving Baal. Just do this. All you need to do is according to this, and things will work out right, whatever it is. If you believe in this or trust in that, anything other than God. And then we find that because of that, of course, His people began to fall away. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and He delivered them into the hands of the spoiler that spoiled them. In other words, they had been spoiled by the false gods. God gave them over. We find that in the book of Romans. We find in Paul's day, he's talking about a world, again, looking at it, at the world as you see it and what's taking place in the world. There were those in Rome, and there are those today, who are looking to appease themselves with the gods of this world. God gave them up, and then God gave them over, it says in Romans chapter number 1. It's a terrible thing when God gives a person up. He's not working with them anymore. What do you mean by that? Well, the Holy Spirit, as we see it in the Scripture, in this day is active in the world. We can't see Him, but He's actively working. He's bringing the world into conviction. That's what the Scripture says. He's in the world today to convict the world of sin and judgment and righteousness to come. The Holy Spirit's working today. But this heart of a person may reject that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that this is the Word of God. I don't believe in preaching. I don't believe in the things that you believe in. And the Holy Spirit deals with them and brings them under conviction. And they say, no, I don't believe it. No. We're not obligated, or God's not obligated, rather, to continue to deal with a person. But according to the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is working. So who are we to say when no is not enough? No, I don't. Someone said, would you come and go to church with me? I'd like for you to come and visit church with us. No, I'm busy. Well, what about another day? Well, I don't know. I'll see you. You run into this person again. You ask them about, come and go to church with me. We're concerned, you know, I'm concerned about you. You're my friend. I'd like for you to know the Lord. I mean, some people, it's hard to be a witness. They don't feel like they can say the right words. So just, won't you just come and go to church with me? No, no. Well, can I pray with you? No. See, then it's, when is this line, this unseen line that's there somewhere that God has drawn, and that's it? He's not going to deal with this person anymore. You and I are not the one to decide this, but God, according to what we see, the Holy Spirit is not going to continue to work. When's the last time? Who could say this is the last time? What if it's today? What if it's this message? What if it's this hour, and you know that the Holy Spirit is working, and you say, no, no, no. Then it's too late. They gave themselves over, if you would. They abandoned God, and they began to serve the other gods. The gods of the, talking about the things, the finances, it didn't just start in this day and age in which we live. Much is said in Scripture about this. I would read it again today in Psalm 49. I'd like to read some Scripture there. It says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. He talked about riches. Riches taking people away from God. Riches getting into the eye of a beholder and becoming that God, the driving force of all they have. The Lord spoke of this with the rich man in Luke's gospel. Remember, he's going to tear down his barns and build larger barns because he has such an abundant crop. And then the word comes to him. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, and whose things will they be? Who's going to get that you're storing up and building up? He goes on to say, for the redemption of their soul is precious and ceaseth, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. That's what Jesus said in Luke. And whose things will they be? Their inward thoughts is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their names. They named this place after them. Where are they? Nothing wrong with riches, but you need to have it in the right perspective with God. Don't let it become a god. Again, thinking about our nation. What has driven this nation? The filth of money. It has bought elections. It has carried out much harm and continues to in this nation today. It's not the money, but it's the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah said. Who can know it? God. God knows it. He knows your heart this morning. He knows my heart. And what he would is that our heart would stay in tune and in love with him. He wants us to be like that generation, the elders, those that had persistently continued to stay with God. Those, I'll tell you, folks, I've seen a lot of people go into eternity, and it's a wonderful thing when a brother or sister in the Lord is waiting to see the Lord Jesus and not complaining about the things that they're leaving here in this life. Looking forward to seeing their loved ones again. Looking forward to seeing the one who died for them. That's a precious thing. And we pray that God would help us to continue to pass this type of faith on to those coming in the next generation. And this is where we stand today in our matter of being a believer, a Christian, is doing our best to encourage others in the Lord, in the Word of God, to reach out and to try to bring the young people up into the things of God. Someone asked me a while back, said, do you have teenagers at your church? I said, yes, we have a few. And thank God for those we have. And pray for them. Those that are here are standing strong in their faith, people. We need to encourage them. We certainly do. They're not here by games and gimmicks. They're here because of the Word of God. And we love you and we're praying for you. You are the next generation. And we're standing with you. And we want to give you the things of God to stand with. And so we see a nation where God can turn around with a handful of people. Look what the Lord did. Just a handful. 11, then the Apostle Paul. And now the world, as you and I know it, the world is, the gospel of Christ is working in this world today because of those who are faithful. Those who are not being called aside by the God of this world. And folks, there's hope for this nation as we think about that. I'd like for us to look one more place this morning, closing a very familiar text. Many of you know it, can quote it. The Lord speaking in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 gives a conditional statement. A conditional statement is something that if you do this, then I will do that. And we find these words in verse 17. If my people, who are the people of God? Born again believers. You say this is Old Testament. No, this is Scripture. This is New Testament. This is us. If my people, which are called by my name, again, that's where the Christian comes in. We're called little Christ. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, he says, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Folks, we need a healing in this nation. This nation needs a healing. You're talking about, someone said, well, this country is divided. The question is, how many ways? You know, it's like a pie. Last week we had some good ones, didn't we? Ooh, I'm glad they didn't cut it in half and say, you want a piece? Well, I thought I could eat the whole half, but no way. Thank God they divided it up. There's more than one division. This nation is divided in many ways today. You see, it's divided in faith. It's divided in morals, the conscience, these things. But the question is, will we? He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, we need to agree with God. We need to agree with God in humility. Lord, we've sinned. Some people say, well, I haven't sinned. You've just sinned. Scripture says if we say we have no sin, we make him to be a liar, and the truth is not in us. Now, which way is it? We're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace, and we're sinners who continue to repent of our sin. If we say, if we'll humble ourselves, and we will ask God to show mercy on us in this humility, Lord, we have sinned. And we pray, dear God, that you would forgive our sins as we humble ourselves and pray for this nation. We are as guilty as anyone. Father, forgive us of our sins. Help our nation to turn back to thee. Pray, seek my face, he said, and turn from their wicked ways. This, again, is a matter of salvation today. Many people want to come to God because of this false gospel that's given. God will answer your prayer. He wants you to have the best of everything. No, he said, you repent and you turn and you come to God. Repent of the gods, come to him, repent, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is what we need today, people. We need a healing in the nation of America. This country at one time, I don't know what year or when, was the greatest in the world of sending out missionaries, the word of God, gospel teaching, gospel preaching. I don't know where that is today. It doesn't matter. God knows. But what we need to do is we need to get back to that. The God of this world has blinded the minds and the hearts of people today. We need to pray God to help us. Let the light of the Lord shine in and through our life and illumine this darkness that is prevailing in this world today, and especially in the borders of our nation. Let's stand together today as we go to the Lord in prayer. I would ask that you join me this morning as we pray for our country. In your mind this morning, let's look ahead with anticipation of God doing great things for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, for those young people. There's hope for this nation. There's hope in Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Father, we're giving your word back to you. That's what you said. And Father, we claim today your victory in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our young people. We pray for the generation behind us. But Lord, we pray today that we'd be faithful to the end. Dear God, help us to do our best, Father, to stand for truth and righteousness as we, dear Lord, stand as your people with your name. Help us to do that humbly in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.